sense here at Sisterhood that the invitation is to come and go on a journey with us. And you can do that by coming along to the conference, gathering together in these bigger events. Yes, you can. But another way, like Kat said, is to be part of small group life. And if you're part of an amazing local church and you're in community, I want to encourage you to keep meeting together. These are not the days to give that up. We need each other. And so continue to meet in your smaller groups. We need each other in that way. And then pray with us. Partner with us in prayer, and you can watch the space. We're going to be praying into all sorts of things in and around our community, our country, and you're invited to be a part of that, because I know something powerful happens when women pray. Amen? Amen. And so what I feel that we're doing this year is we're moving into another layer of sisterhood. If you didn't know this, we're actually turning 10 this year. 10 years of sisterhood in 2024. I know. Could you actually celebrate that? It's a decade of God's faithfulness, of reframing the way that we believe women to be, placing value on the feminine soul, and I'm excited to step into a new decade with you. But I know that with these big transitions in life, when you step into new decades, I'm going to turn 40 next year. Oh, my Lord. Even saying that out loud makes me go, ooh. To gather myself. But I know that with these transitions into new decades and into new seasons, God does something. And I want to encourage you to raise your expectation for what he is wanting to do and say in this space. Because I know he wants to blow us away with his goodness and his faithfulness. And so the invitation is to come. Let's go on a journey together. Let's not just gather for a minute and then, oh, that was a cool conference, great speaker, not so great speaker, the worship was a bit off, whatever. Come on a journey. Let's go on a journey together where we journey through the mountaintops but also through the valleys. And we can celebrate God's faithfulness every step of the way. Right, I'm feeling very distracted. Anyone else? Is it just like a thing of distract? You're all waving at me. Okay, so I'm going to pray. Because I actually think there's something going on here. Thank you, Jesus, for brave hearts, for sharp minds, and for strong and expectant spirits. Holy Spirit, would you call our spirits to attention now? Would you calm our souls? Because I know that you want to speak to us. Remove every distraction in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to share some of my personal story with you and hopefully weave this amazing narrative of the person of God in and through it, and help us understand something of who God is so that we can see ourselves in context in a new way. Amen? That is my hope and prayer. And so over the past 2 years, I've been on quite an interesting journey. It was actually 2 years yesterday that my dad had passed away. And so it's been a 2-year journey of navigating what it is to live life without him here on earth. And though I believe he is more alive than you and I are sitting here today, there's still this ache because of the distance that I feel, and just the discomfort of not having someone in your presence and accessible here on earth. Do you get it? And so what happened in 2022 was, if you know me, I do this. I frame my year with a word, and then I ask God to take me on a journey around what I'm feeling. Some of you do that, word of the year, all the things, yes? Okay, it's all the rage. Anyway, I've been doing it for a number of years now, and it's so amazing to go back and look at what God does. You should do that. Go back and look at the journey that God has taken you on. But in 2022, what I did is I framed the year wisdom and understanding. Like, I had this insatiable desire to gain the wisdom and understanding of God. And I prayed and I asked God for divine access to what he sees and only what he knows, that he would share the treasures of the kingdom with me. And in that same year, the vision of our church that Dylan felt for this house was Look Again. Anyone remember that? It was amazing. And the invitation was for us to have our heart eyes open to the things of the kingdom, to the things of heaven, to the heart of the Father. And we ask God as a community to enlighten us, to open our heart eyes. And then in February, my dad passed away. And in an instant, I was thrust into a life where now death was real. It was not something I had experienced in such a close proximity before. And because it was so sudden and so unfamiliar, I desperately needed to see with my father's perspective so that I could make sense of the life that I was now living. Have you ever asked the question, what is this all for? Anyone? I've been asking it for 2 years. What is all this for, God? This life here on earth, our coming, our going, what is it for? Romans 11 says this, and if you were here on Sunday, it would have blown you away. If you weren't, you should go listen to the message. But this is the scripture. It says, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? And these past few weeks, as I've been journeying towards this 2-year mark of the anniversary of my dad's death, I've been thinking so much about heaven, so much about heaven. And I felt God asking me this question as I was thinking and talking with him about heaven. Tess, do you know the depths of me? Do you know what you have to draw from? Do you know my depths? And this grieving journey has caused me to realize that my perception of reality, my understanding of life and death, heaven and earth, it's been distorted and limited to what I can see and make sense of in my humanness. And so at the beginning of this year, because these things happen, I went into an estate and I swiped my driver's license and it went boom, 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 license expired. Anyone else had that? You don't actually know your license is expiring and then thank you, Simbiti, now you know. You need to go to the driving place. What's it called? The license department. You can see, it's not my favorite place anyway. And my heart sank because I was like, oh, yes, okay, that is going to be a process that I was not anticipating in January anyway. And so because I wanted, like any good South African who wants to make the process move along quicker, you go and see the ophthalmologist before you go to the licensing department so that you can take your eye test with you. Because then you can skip like 4 of the 8 queues that you're sitting in. Bless them. Anyway, that is not the point of the story. The point of my story is I sat with the ophthalmologist and he was like, okay, read the letters. And I was like, this is easy. A, F, G, D, H. Perfect. Next line. C, R, S, P. And then I was like, that line, I'm seeing an M, could be a N, could be a W. One of the letters of the alphabet, and the kind man who I have seen before said, Tess, I really think this is time for you to pull out the glasses that you own and put them on. And what happened is as I put on these lenses, I could now see clearly because they sharpened my view. It was like it gave me a different frame with which to see what I couldn't see clearly. And I believe God is kind, and through this process of losing my father, my earthly father, he's given me a new lens to see the world from his point of view, an ability to look again, to see life and perceive it from the Father's perspective, a perspective that brings clarity and order and confidence and precision. Father Powell, who I do not know personally, or I actually don't know who he is, but I did read a book with his quote in, and I feel like Father Powell would be an amazing person to meet. because this is profound. Listen to what he has to say. One's frame of reference controls the quality of one's living. And then around November last year, I felt God move my heart to hear him for 2024, and the words open door landed in my spirit. And then I saw them everywhere. Literal open doors everywhere. I was dreaming of them. I saw pictures of them. People were talking to me about open doors. And then I went and studied the Jewish New Year, and they had called this transition into 2024 the year of the open door. And so I believe God has given me a prophetic word for this moment, and it is around an open door and a throne. And so I have framed this year, 2024, the year of the open door. Not because it's a catchy rhyme. I'm not trying to be Mark. Mark always comes up with an amazing catchy rhyme for the year and all the things. But because Psalm 25 tells us that the Lord confides in those who fear him. He does that. He's good. He whispers the secrets of his heart to his children. Amen? And in the book of Revelation, it says to us, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I believe open door is a God-breathed word of the Spirit to the church. And so I want to encourage you to open up your heart to receive this evening, not a three-step practical how to be the best me message. Okay, this is not what I'm going to give you this evening. I believe I'm going to present to you a prophetic word of a preferred future, a new lens and frame with which to see the world and make sense of where we find ourselves today. Amen? So if you're anything like me, if you're a human, you have heard the word open door, and immediately we were like, yes, all the opportunities are coming my way in 2024, the financial breakthrough in Jesus' name, all the promotions, yes, the breakthroughs God is going to provide for me in 2024. Amen. Now, this is not wrong. God is good and kind and generous, and he gives good gifts to his children. But I knew that when that word open door dropped into my spirit, there was way more to it than what we see on a human level. This is a prophetic picture. And if it's prophetic, it must build you up. As the church, it must encourage the body of Christ, and it must cause the saints to respond in awesome worship. Amen? And so when I heard these words open door, I turned to scripture, because when the Logos word, this word of God, comes alongside what we sense, it breathes life into it and becomes a rhema word that is full of life, full of his spirit, full of his depths that far surpass our human understanding and limitations. And in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, there is a profound reference to an open door. Not open doors, an open door. And it's not a physical door, it's a doorway to heaven. It's an invitation to see heaven. To put on a new lens and frame life from the Father's point of view. To live with a vision of heaven, which is the lens that shapes and clears the way that we live here on earth. To look at all our physical and spiritual reality from the Father's point of view. Now, the book of Revelation, I know I saw some of you like wince as I said that. I believe it has been grossly misinterpreted and oftentimes presented as an apocalyptic nightmare. But the revelation, the book of Revelation, is a supernatural revealing of the resurrected, victorious Jesus to the church. It is a powerful, passionate book where Jesus himself is revealed to the church. And in this book, Jesus, what happens is through a vision given to John, Jesus speaks to seven churches, okay? He encourages them, he warns them, he disciplines them, yes? He urges them on. And then at the end of each message, there is a promise. You can go and read it. There's a promise. And to some, he gives access to the tree of life forever and ever. To others, he gives manna from heaven. To another church, he gives a white stone, which is a picture of friendship with him. And then in Revelation 3, this is the promise that he gives this church. You can turn there with me. It's Revelation 3, verse 21. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right. Everyone say the right. To sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And then directly after that, okay, he tells us, to those who are victorious, I'm going to give them the right to be seated on the throne with me. Next chapter, very next line. After all these things, Revelation 4, verse 1 to 2, I looked and behold, say behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking. It's Jesus speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne. Say, behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And so I want to unpack a little bit of this for us today and take us on a beautiful journey to see the resurrected, victorious, living Jesus. Amen? First thought, look, an open door. Okay, so John, while he's on earth, very important, while he's on earth, he sees a door and it's open, okay? He's not been teleported to heaven in some like trance-like weird thing that happened. He's on earth, he's imprisoned on an island and he's sitting on a hard rock, and from that position on earth, he sees something of heaven. For John, heaven is another dimension of reality right here. It's up close and personal, not far off and distant, somewhere in the cloud. And Jesus pulls back the curtain for John, and he does it for us, because this is for us too, and opens the door so that John can see a spiritual reality which will help him understand his physical reality of what is going on earth. Jesus is giving John the full picture, the fullness of life, the fullness of Christ picture of what it means to be a human being, a spirit-filled human being here on earth. And he says, look. That word look, behold, in other translations, it's a command. It's not like, have a look and see if you want to look through the door, John. That's not the tone of that statement. It's look. You have to see this. Behold. We're given an invitation to see, an invitation to acquire vision, a beckoning to come up and look from the perspective of the Father. How many of you feel like you need a new perspective? The invitation is to ascend to higher ground, a higher level, so that when we look at our lives, when we look at our losses, when we look at our failure, when we look at our decisions that we're making about our children, when we struggle through our marriages and we fuss through all the financial pressure and all the things that we have being placed on us, the demand every single day, when we look at that, we will see it from a higher perspective and then act from that point. And you know what I love about this door? The door is always open. Always. Nowhere in Scripture are we told that he shuts this door. Our Father resides in heaven, and his door is always open. There is nothing you can do, and there is nothing you cannot do. No mistake you've made, no failure you've experienced, or sin you've committed that can shut the door of heaven. Nothing. You're not that powerful. I'm not that good. Only he has the power to open and close the door, and he chooses to leave it wide open. And then the second thought I have for you is look, a throne. And I thought we found a pretty beautiful throne. What do you think? I think it works. It's beautiful. But John, he sees an open door And then he looks through, and what does he see? A throne. And there are two very important things you need to know about the throne that John sees, and the throne of God. The throne is not empty. And number two, we are not the ones sitting on its seat. He says one is seated on the throne. I want to here hang in this picture of the throne and the door, because it's such a crucial picture to help us understand the life that we're living here on earth. We live in an age with two very dominating worldviews at play. And oftentimes we don't know that they're happening around us. It's just culture being formed in and around us every single day. There are two dominating worldviews around us. Humanism, it says, I am God. I am seated on the throne. I rule and I reign. I am the highest order of authority. I am the one with the power. It's all about me and my story, my legacy, what I'm building. Humanism. And then the other worldview is atheism. It says there's no God. There's no throne. There's no higher power to rule over us. But John is invited to look through an open door into heaven, and he sees actually there is a throne. And it's not empty. There's someone on that throne. The throne is a powerful declaration, not merely of God's presence, but of his sovereign, rightful reign. And what this image does for us as believers, it's powerful. It puts us in the context. It puts us in context. And it silences the noise of humanistic and atheistic worldviews and thinking and opinions. And we need them to be silenced. We need the truth to shape our view. Otherwise, culture will define the way we make our decisions and the way we behave. As children of God, as people who believe in Jesus, if that's you here this evening, women who love the word, we do not have the privilege of flirting with this ideology. I believe we are being called in this new day to come up to higher ground, to bring the truth to the conversation. The truth, not my truth, not what I'm feeling about it all. To bring the truth to the conversation from the Father's perspective and heart, which is one of love. Amen? And so when you read this amazing prophetic vision that Jesus gives John, the throne is the centerpiece of the picture. May the throne of God, with him seated on it, always be at the center of our lives. Amen? And he sees this picture of a throne with the Father on it, and seated at the right hand of that throne is who? Jesus. It is the ultimate picture of authority and power. Okay, that's a long story to give you the picture of what's going on here. Why is this so important? Why does this matter? I'm glad you are asking me that question. Because there's more to life than meets the physical eye. There is an order, and there is a flow of supernatural life that we can tap into if we're willing to open our heart eyes and look through the lens of heaven. A picture where the Father has ultimate authority. He's seated on the throne, and he delegates it to the Son, who can give it to whoever believes in him. And so here's a backstory to that picture I've given you. Try and picture it. Father on the throne, Jesus at the right hand. Jesus succeeded. This is the gospel. Jesus succeeded in securing all power by going on the cross, dying the most horrendous death, suffering the penalty of sin, and defeating Satan in the pit of hell. He came to earth as a man with a great mission to recapture the authority that Satan had stolen from Adam in the garden through his disobedience. That's the gospel. And after securing that power and authority, that's what he did through his cross and through his death and resurrection. He freely gives it into the hands of those who choose to believe in him. That's you and I, given free access to his power and authority because of his death and his resurrection. So if you're born of the Spirit of God, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, if you've been given the Word of God, you have everything that you need to live and carry out your spiritual authority here on earth. That's the truth. Authority is about position. We may live with in earthly bodies here on earth. Oh, girls, humor me for a moment. I know this is deep. I know some of you are like, what on earth? But we're not talking about earth. We're talking about heaven so that we can figure out how to live on earth. Our spirits, even though we live in earthly bodies, our spirits are seated with Christ at the right hand of God. That is the promise. And God, I believe, is revealing to his children the order of authority. There is a chain of command, and the enemy is at the bottom of that chain. Amen? You should be celebrating that, because that's the truth. And authority comes, greater authority comes, when we know our position. We are co-heirs with Christ, Ephesians 2 says. Co-heirs. Hello, that means everything that has been given to Jesus, we inherit. Can I get an amen? That sounds like good news. And so what does that give us? His authority and his power. The biblical definition of authority is the power or ability to do something given by a higher authority. That's what it is. The ability to do something because of the power of his authority. And because of Jesus, we have the right to act and exercise his power because he's given us the authority to do so. We're told that we have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave, living in us. Scripture says that. To take charge over the powers and principalities, to take charge over the authorities of the darkness, to resist the devil himself, to heal the sick, come on, to inspire hope, to bear witness and testimony of who Jesus is, to overcome, to flee evil, to turn away from sin, to break chains. We act on his authority which he has given to us. When you know your position, you can move with an authority that isn't part of this world system and order. The other day, it was actually just after Vision Sunday, I was driving to get my driver's license from the licensing department, now that I know what it's called. And I'd woken up that morning. I hadn't slept well at all. I was feeling very uneasy. So I'd had a bad dream. I'm not a big dreamer, but if I have bad dreams, not good. And I really felt uneasy. I felt afraid. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And as the day progressed, I became more and more gripped by fear. And I became obsessively, you can ask my husband, because I'm not making up a story for effect here, obsessively concerned and fearful that something was going to happen to my children. I felt physically ill. I couldn't function or think properly. Someone then shared a dream with me, which was not from God, about something terrible happening to my children. We must be very aware of the things that we share with people in Jesus' name. And as this day went on and on, I became more and more gripped by fear to the point where I didn't really know what to do with myself. And I was driving to the licensing department. I started to pray in the spirit, asking God to show me what was going on because I couldn't function. And I was petrified. Absolutely paralyzed by fear, and I couldn't make sense of what was going on. And I felt God begin to give me vision for what was going on and gave me a new frame or lens with which to see what was happening in the spirit. And I believe that day that I was being harassed by a spirit of fear. And how does that happen? I don't know, guys. I don't have all the answers. I'm just telling you my personal experience. But I was driving and I was like, okay, so it's a spirit. That's great. And put worship on and began to pray. And I felt like I was actually having an out-of-body experience. I suddenly felt the words come up my mouth. Don't threaten me. Just like that. There was no big performance. There was no shouting and binding and loosing, and all the things had to be excommunicated from me and the car. None of it. Don't threaten me. Don't threaten my family. I'm a child of God. I have the Spirit of the living God inside of me, and He has not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of love. He's given me love. Love so high, so wide, so deep, so profound, even the entire universe can't contain it. He has given me a sound mind. I have clarity, and I see exactly what you're doing. And He has given me power, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is living and breathing inside of me. Don't threaten me. And then what I did is I phoned my husband. Well, I didn't phone him. We're not big phone people. But I messaged him, a little sad about us. And I told him what was going on. I said, this is what's happening. I'm very afraid, and I need you to pray for me. There is an order to authority. And God has given him an authority that I know that if I submit to that, there is a protection and a blessing and a covering that comes over me and my family. And so I bring myself to that authority. And then I messaged some friends and I said, I need you to pray for me. I want you to pray with me. I believe that I'm being terrorized by a spirit of fear. And you know what happens? Greater authority comes when we stand together in unity and we contend for one another and we fight for one another and we go after the same things. And people stand beside you and they say, we're drawing a line in the sand. This is not happening. Not on our watch. There was no way that spirit was going to be able to hang around and terrorize me with all of that going on. It's called authority. 1 Thessalonians 5 in the Message paraphrase of the Bible, Eugene Peterson puts it quite beautifully. He says, be alert, be sober-minded, know where you stand. You're a daughter of the day. So let's not sleepwalk through life. Keep your eyes wide open. Be smart. And then Peter says it like this. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. We have authority because of Jesus to resist. Standing firm in the faith. Amen. I'm not sure how you walked in here this evening. Maybe you were looking for how to be the best me message. But I believe God would have me tell you, girls, I don't know if you're aware, but we are at war. This is not a physical fight that we're in of flesh and blood. You can't see it all the time. Often we don't even know what's happening. This is a spiritual battle. We have a real enemy, and he hates believers. And he wants to do three things all the time: steal, kill, and destroy. On repeat. It's pretty boring. But we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. When you remove yourself from the physical and you look through that open door and you see the throne with the Father and Jesus at his right hand, that is when you can say, I have nothing to fear because I have access to a higher authority and a greater power. Amen. I want to encourage you to stand because I want to ask you some questions, and then I believe we're going to go into a time of ministry and worship. I didn't have a plan to close this message with something profound. Really, I am not that profound, honestly. But I know that Holy Spirit wants to complete a work in you that He is starting. And there are seeds that are being sown in this place tonight where, that you've perhaps never even heard of this before. You're like, what on earth? I never knew that. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to take you and He's going to take you on a journey of understanding the authority you have in Him. Perhaps you needed to be reminded today of the authority you have in Jesus Christ, the power at your disposal, because that is going to change the way that you live your life. It's going to change the decisions that you make. It's going to change the friendships that you choose. It's going to change the circles you position yourself in. It's going to change the habits that you can't seem to break. And so I want to ask you some questions. How would you live if you truly believed that heaven's door is open over your life? It cannot be shut. Nothing you can do. Nothing you can't do can shut that door. Only He has authority to do so. How would you live your life if you could see from the Father's perspective? Would anything change? Would we approach our future differently? Would the way we ordered our children's steps change? Because, girls, we're all doing it. Fearful of their future. So if I just do this and this and place them here and place them there and put this book in place and that and everything, and then they're going to be fine. You know what? You can do all the right things and it still may not turn out okay. Sorry to break it to you. You can do all the right things. And then what? There are just some things that are out of our control, right? If you could see from the Father's perspective, would it change the way that you ordered your children's steps? Would you spend your money differently? Would you pursue different relationships? Would you end certain relationships? How would you face your challenges if you could see the world from His point of view? Where would church fit in? Would it cause you to reorder your priority? And what I want to do this evening is ask you, as we begin to take a moment, to just allow Holy Spirit to come and speak to us, because I don't want to have the final word. It's to go from this place and continue to think about what God is saying to you. Because He takes a word and He splits it however many hundred different ways. Because He knows us that well. Knows us so personally. And so I'd love you to close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a door that is always open. How kind. thank you for the promise that we can be seated with you in heavenly places. Would you embed that seed in every heart in this room, that we are seated in heavenly places with him. Enlighten our eyes. Speak to us. For some of us, I believe the Holy Spirit is coming to pull out a root of fear in your life. It's not for you. It's not from God. It's not for you. Particularly around children. Particularly around children, I believe Holy Spirit is going to come and minister to your heart around the future of your children. I want you to open up your hands and be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because only he can come and speak to that very thing, because he knows and he sees what I cannot. That tonight, Holy Spirit, you will minister to failure. For many of us, feeling constrained by things that we've done, things that we've said, attempts that were unsuccessful, relationships that failed. Going to rush. We're going to stay here for a minute. Allow Holy Spirit to speak to you, to minister to you, and then our team are going to lead us in worship.